like we always do at this time. What up, though? Jalen and Jacoby taking over 3:30 daily right here on my IG handle. 4 p.m. on each ESPN handle, giving the people what they want. What up, though? We appreciate the love, appreciate the support. 9 years in the game as a podcast. You know the funny thing that I noticed is that people do this for a short period of time and be like they're the ideal or they're the best. To be the best, you gotta at least put in a decade. We not coming out like Luka Doncic the greatest or Trae Young the greatest. They got a chance. But they gotta put in more work. Hi, David.
What up, Jay?
What up, though?
Man, just here in the quarantine crib, just taking care of the kids, trying to give my wife some time away from the kids. She's a hero. My wife is a hero. Through this, man, I think like college kids home at their parents' house have it tough. I think if you're really alone, you have it tough. But if you got little kids, man, this is a particular difficult time for us right here, right now. You know. And I'm jealous of your do-rag, but I know you're jealous of my background. I finally got the background. You know what? I love the do-rag so much. I'm going to wear a do-rag once. When I was in Detroit for one of the JRLA golf tournaments, we pulled up to the MGM, and I see two white guys walking down the block with big baggy gym shorts and do-rags. And I was like, man, I love Detroit. Only in Detroit are white guys out here trying to get waves. I love it so much. I'm going to wear a do-rag. I'm gonna wear a do-rag. But you know what? Executives, they don't even know. They don't have my phone number. They can't even call me and tell me not to wear a do-rag.
That would be dope.
I'm gonna do it. No, it wouldn't be
dope. We need
that would not be dope.
We need you to represent. Why not? That would be dope.
Nope. Can't do it. Wait, Jill, what part of the house are you at now? Why are you in the bathroom? Are you pooping right now? What's happening?
I'm in the studio.
Are you on the toilet?
No, I'm in the studio. I just had to stretch my legs, man.
Good.
You know, my body clock is all turned around.
Why's that?
Because I'm going to sleep at odd hours. I'm waking up at odd hours. It's crazy.
You know what? You know what's part of my day now? Getting a nap in. My wife is the best because she doesn't want to wake up. My son woke up at 5:30 this morning. She's not trying to hear. So I got to deal with him in the morning, but she allows me to take a nap in the mid-morning. She's the absolute best. And Jalen, you know, it does feel like the weekend. Like, it does feel like Friday, even though every day kind of feels the same. It does feel like Friday because we have no show tomorrow and the next day. And Jalen, a couple things. Number one, Premier versus Rizzo. It's going down.
9 p.m. on Saturday, right?
Those are the heavyweights. Like, we've been watching the undercards, but those are the heavyweights right there. Because both of them have such unique sounds. Like, you know, I don't need to hear. They didn't have to put a little thing at the beginning like, this is a RZA beat. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't have to do that. Because you notice from hearing them whether it's a RZA beat or a Premier beat. I cannot wait.
You know the OG thing that I heard RZA say? He was like, the paperwork is done. I didn't sleep on that part.
I wonder how they're making money from this.
That's the first thing he said. The paperwork is done.
Well, how are you going to make money from this? You're wearing like a Costco t-shirt or something?
I don't know.
There's no ads on it, but we'll see.
Well, people told him that when he was Prince Raheem, and then he created, oh, we love you, Raheem, and then created the Wu-Tang Clan, so.
Oh, him and GZA had a song. I forget what it's called, but they have one of their early songs is Slats. It's like it came out in like 91. Pass the bone.
Oh, love you, Ryan.
Pass the bone. Pass the bone, kid. Pass the bone. Pass the bone. It's like early before Wu-Tang even existed, and it's still hot. You know what? I think I like RZA beats more than Primo beats. I'm going to tell you why, Jalen Rose. I know you're not going to pick a side. I'll pick a side. I like RZA beats more than Primo beats because Primo, heavy sampler. He'll take a sample of a beat, throw those scratches on the chorus, and there you go. But RZA constructs all of his beats from the ground up. That's why I would take it.
George Whitfield Jr., That was blasphemous right there, dog.
Say what you want to say, Jay. You know what I mean? You don't pick sides. You don't pick sides. You don't, because you got your friends with everybody. Everybody's in your phone. None of these people are in my phone. So I'm not worried about it.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people sleep on the legacy of Gangstar. That's the problem. I'll never forget their second album. I think it was called Daily Operation. I had it in my car, the CD, and Jimmy King heard it when we got to Ann Arbor. He's like, I'm taking this, dog. I'm not stealing it, but you're never getting this back. You're never getting this back. He's like, you my brother. I love you, dog. I don't know where you got this from.
This is my house. Two kids on my basketball team.
I got this car. He was playing it, too.
Two youngins on my basketball team stole one of my blank tapes because it had Your Beef Is Mine on it before the album came out. And they like it had was Your Beef Is Mine on it. And next thing you know, that tape went missing. I found out who had it. I approached him at practice. And I was like, look, I ain't mad. We're not going to fight about it. But tomorrow at practice, no questions asked. You're going to hand me that tape. And they did it. So shout to Tyson and Nathaniel, two youngins on my basketball
team. And shout to everybody that's old enough to know about tapes. When you pop the top of them, you put some tissue in them so you can record over them. You know, in high school, you had to press pause and then run out to your favorite song. When somebody pressed play during your high school game, I'm going to ask you what song did your high school team come out to. Mine, it was South Bronx, South Bronx, because we were Southwestern. And we had the dopest crowd of all time. And they be Earl Flynn and like, Southwest, Southwest, Southwest. It was crazy. What about your squad?
My senior year, we got to pick. The seniors get to pick, right? So we went with J. Ruta Damager. You know that one? Yeah, Come Clean, because, you know, it starts out boom, boom, boom. So we would wait behind the door. We would wait behind the door until the beat dropped, and then we would come out, and everybody would get excited, and then we would lose by 15. That's kind of how it went. We were hyped. We were hyped to start the game. We were hyped to start the game. Down to the Western Division of the Suburban League champions. But your high school team isn't that good when you play the Suburban League. It was really called the Suburban League. That's what it was called. Like, even when if you're varsity on the Suburban League, are you really varsity? That's all I got to say.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, man. I'm excited for that Saturday night. Saturday night, we got RZA versus Premier. And Jalen, you know, Sunday, something happened yesterday. Jalen asked for my address, right? Usually the only people that ask for your address if we're about to get married. You know what I mean? That's pretty much it. It's like they're either going to send you a picture of their family around Christmas or they're about to get married. So I was like, why does this dude need my address? Like, first of all, how many times have I gave you my address? How many times?
But here's something that anybody that knows me would appreciate. When you give me your personal information, your address, your bank information, whatever, once you give it to me, I discard it.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone. I'm the same way. Every time I go to your crib, I text you and say, what's your address? I've done it probably 100 times.
Yeah.
So you asked me my address yesterday, and I was like, what is this dude doing? But whatever, I'm just going to hit him. You know, who knows? I'm thinking maybe Molly's going to, like, send a card or something. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, this is probably Molly-related. She probably wants to, like, send something to Joey. That's my wife. And then I get the doorbell rings. And there's something weird about my doorbell. It plays Wish You Merry Christmas, and we can't get it to change. So I'm just sitting around the house, and it's always me, wish you a Merry Christmas. Like, man, but once it hits, like, December 3rd, it really, like, works. But outside of the Christmas holiday, that's annoying. So this dude is downstairs, and he hands me a box. And what's inside the box? Lobster tails, crab legs, just various shrimp patties, just various seafoods that my brother, Jalen Anthony Rose, sent me because it's my birthday on Wednesday. Man, thank you so much. I don't make a big deal out of my birthday like Jalen does. I try to tell as little people as possible, especially during quarantine. So I'm not doing a big Zoom party or anything, nothing like that. But I will be eating lobster tails tonight, courtesy of you. It shows you the kind of guy that Jalen is. Jalen, you're the best.
My pleasure, brother. Happy birthday. As you know, I love and appreciate you. And the only reason why you don't make a big deal out of your birthday is because you're not black. I've told you forever. We celebrate our birthday for 30 straight days. My birthday is January 30th. I start celebrating it right after New Year's Eve.
New Year's Day. You're already talking about your birthday.
Right.
It was like we were January 4th, we're at lunch, and he's like, let's do a shot. It's my birthday. I'm like, talk, it's 3 weeks plus till your birthday. You can't be doing shots every day for the whole month of January. For real.
So happy birthday. Tell the audience. Obviously we're dealing with a pandemic and it's unique. And dramatic circumstances right now. So I'm not trying to overlook the things that are happening in society. But can you tell me something that happened over the last 12 months that made you happy, that made you better, that's a sacrifice that you did? Something that changed from last birthday to this birthday?
Well, it's hard to see past what we're currently dealing with the quarantine and the COVID-19 virus, which has touched so many people close to me and in my life. You know, a couple guys on the basketball team have it. A lot of guys on the basketball team are ER doctors. We just learned today that my wife's grandmother, who's 98, she's suffering from COVID symptoms.
Wow.
And I would say that this particular month, I will never forget for the rest of my life, but it, as bad and tragic as this has been, it has really brought my family closer together. You know, I feel closer to the people that share this home with me than I ever have been before, where every single meal we spend together, you know, every time they poop, I know about it. Every time they cry, every fight they get in, they're really just bonding together. The kids are, and we're all bonding together through this. So I would say the most sort of impactful thing that's happened is happening right now during this lockdown in New York City. Because it's crazy out here, man. People, a lot of people, every day someone new on my phone tells me that they've been infected with the virus, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people are reported cases. But there's so many people that have it that just don't go to hospitals and don't get tested. It's crazy.
That's dope. And I have to acknowledge some talented individuals that have made themselves success stories and entrepreneurs. Lil Boosie and Tory Lanez. And I'm using them as an example. They're not the only people. I got love for them. I'm just saying. Let's try to do something else with our platform besides twerk. Young ladies out there, I just have to say this. We like you from the front. You don't have to just always turn around and feel like you got to show us your backside and twerk it. Like that right now, and giving away $500 yesterday. I forgot whose site you said that was.
Lil Yachty. Lil Yachty gave one of his fans $500 to drink urine.
Yeah, let's not take this space in order to do buffoonery. You know, let's uplift. And if you want to give your time, your energy, or your money, you know, you can crack jokes and have fun, and we try to entertain on this show. But there are certain things that embarrass others in order to get fame and or money. And I'm just calling that out because I don't want that to become a trend.
I'm still going to look at Lil Boosie's lodge, though. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'm not going to act like I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to comment on it like Todd Gurley and Kevin Durant. I'm going to check in. I bet there's a lot of people, not me, but I bet there's a lot of people that have notifications just for Lil Boosie. You know what I mean? Got no notification for their girlfriend that has a post, or if their best friend has a post, or their colleague has a post. But once Lil Boosie goes live, they get a notification right to their phone. They stop everything.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're not doing that.
No, we're not doing that. No. We're not doing that at all. Jay, so it's Friday. How do you make the weekend feel like the weekend during quarantine?
So it's crazy. This weekend on Sunday, I think I'm doing a pod with Bill Simmons.
Why you say you think? Bill's like that. Bill doesn't plan anything in life.
Correct.
He doesn't plan anything.
That's why I was like, I think.
He doesn't plan anything. I worked with him. We worked so closely for so many years. And it was like, I remember one time we had to do this show. It was the morning of the show. And I was like, yo, 2 o'clock, you're going to be there? And he was like, oh, that's today? And I was just like, oh, my God. No, you need an assistant. He needs a Michelle, you know?
Our founder, William Simmons, he can reach out 24/7, obviously 365. My brother said he wanted to do a pod. So I believe we're going to do that on Sunday. On Saturday, I just feel like I'm going to cook like crazy. That's what I've been on. I've been on my Chef Boyardee thing, and it makes me happy. It takes a long time. It passes the clock.
It does. And like the one thing I really appreciate about this is my wife has been cooking, man. Every single night she cooks something for the kids, cooks something for us. It is so good. Eating a home-cooked meal every single evening, it doesn't just help your body. It helps your mind. It helps your soul. It really does. What's the best thing Molly cooked since the quarantine?
Chicken pot pie. Some shredded chicken.
Love that crust.
I can't make like crust or really like fried food. You know, I ain't sophisticated like that, but she got this chicken pot pie that's just crazy that she hook up. But here's what you got to do, dog. You got to cut them crab legs I gave you. You got to cut them in like four spots.
Tonight's lobster tails. We'll probably do crab legs for my birthday because that's my favorite meal. I love some crab legs. I wish I could go to my spot to boil right now or the drunken crab.
That's why I wanted you to have crab, dog.
Oh, appreciate you, man. Because I'm Jameis with the crabs. You know, I'm Jameis with the crab. And my son is 6 years old. He eats more crab than me. Son, when we go to the crab spot, I got to open up the crab for him. He eats it real quick and wants another bite. I can't even eat my own crab. I told my wife, I was like, we got to take the kids to go back to the crab spot. She's like, I can't open up all those legs for him.
Correct. But here's what you do. You got to teach Q a little patience. You got to say, this is how Uncle Jalen doing. I'm going to crack all of them for you. Mm-mm. Put a little butter with them. Put a little pepper seasoning on them. And then I'm going to warm them up, and then you can have them. That's going to change the game when you do that.
I'm so excited about this meal. You know what else I told the kids? My birthday's on a Sunday. Ice cream is my favorite dessert. I said, you know what? We're going to have, the first time in their lives, ice cream sundaes. Chocolate syrup and cream, berries on top. And just to say goodbye, one of the kids is here right now. Chloe, say goodbye.
Bye,
Chloe.
We're going to be on at 4 o'clock. Go to twitter.com/JalenAndJacoby. Make sure you follow that. Make sure you follow Jalen and Jacoby on Instagram as well as you follow our personal accounts. Right now, 4 o'clock, head to twitter.com/JalenAndJacoby.
We're not done. We're not done. Follow us to ESPN because we're not done.
It's Friday, and he is Jalen Rose.
What up, dog?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what is it that we do?
Give the people what they want.
The people wanted do-rag Jalen, and the people got do-rag Jalen. Not just any old do-rag, a silk-adorned do-rag. It was gifted to him by Bow Wow. Jalen, those of the listeners and viewers that follow the show know that oftentimes you predict things before they happen, a little bit of Rostradamus. So it's not news. It's not breaking news to J&J supporters. It is broken news. The latest is this, that teams are all together, unified in supporting the delaying of the NBA draft. They're looking at August now. How would the movement of the draft affect the prospects and the teams themselves?
So when you move the draft to August, you're basically saying that you hope the season has ended and the playoffs have ended by then, because the draft happens a week or so after the NBA finals. So that's an indirect projection. What I would say is I acknowledge that this was going to happen 3-2-1 because I feel like this is a chance for the NBA to reset its clock, Jacoby, in a lot of ways.
Yep.
As a diehard NBA fan and supporter and player and somebody that now covers the league, I never felt the draft should come before free agency. I never felt that you should be able to buy out players after the trade deadline. This is not what's best for the players, but this last one is best for the brand. And I never thought that the season should end in June and start in October. So these are things that the league has a chance to actually reset right now. And another thing that you're going to hear is a modification to what's going to happen to next year. It's a domino effect. If this season doesn't end until September, then obviously you're not going to start this season in October. You're going to start it in November or December. So there are going to be a lot of breaking news things about changes to all major sports and their schedules.
Do you think that they will over time course correct the schedule back to where it was traditionally? Or do you think that sort of one of the byproducts of this horrible pandemic is that the NBA season will sort of reset its clock and be later in the year?
I hope the first thing that you said happens is that there's a consideration to reset the clock. Now, if you're a player, of course, when the kids get out of school in June and that's when the finals happen, you'll love to spend the summer with your family. But for a business, you want, when the kids are out of school, for them to be coming to NBA basketball games and for them to be buying jerseys and falling in love with the game. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And another thing that happened that I was making sure that I paid attention to is that the players are going to get their full salaries on April 15th. And why is that major? Because if you don't pay the players their salary, guess what they're not going to want to do? Finish the season. So it was important for the NBA to understand that even if they don't get the opportunity to finish the season, that cutting nose despite face would have been taking place had you not paid the players their full salary this month.
Well, that's interesting. And Jalen, another thing I wanted to bring up is Dana White and UFC. They had been very, 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 very clear that they were going to have USC 249. They were trying to find a venue, trying to make it work. And it, what Dana White is saying, that he got a call from some of our colleagues that probably don't pick up our phone calls because they're too important and influential at this company. But they told Mr. White that they're not going to be hosting UFC 249 under these circumstances. Now, he does still have an idea to create what he calls Fight Island. Now, this is really interesting to me. Fight Island is a remote location, unbeknownst to us exactly in what ocean, but it's an island where everyone will be sequestered, everyone will be quarantined, everyone will be tested, and they will hold UFC fights. Do you think Fight Island will actually happen?
I think when that press conference between Floyd and Conor McGregor was happening, I was literally standing on the stage. I am Dana White. That's what people should start saying. There used to be a commercial for MJ, Be Like Mike. Here's why. From a professional standpoint, and somebody whose job and bottom line requires him to produce UFC fights, he did exactly what I would do. And that's exhaust every option to show my partners that I'm trying to put on this fight. I'm trying to rent islands. I'm trying to have stadiums, arenas. I'm trying to do whatever it takes to make sure that this is happening. I'm not canceling. So therefore, if I don't cancel, run me my bread. That's right. Don't pass go. Don't act like I couldn't fulfill the contractual obligation. I did everything I could to make sure that there was a fight, and you decided that you didn't want it to happen, not the other way around.
Jalen, see, you know what? Sometimes you really do take me behind the curtain of what's really going on, because I was watching this going, wow, this guy really just wants to entertain the people. He sees an opportunity with all live sports being gone, that he wants to be the only live sport running. This is really smart marketing from him. He's got a passion for his sport and wants to put on a show for his fans. But I think your theory makes a lot more sense, saying I fulfilled my part of this contract, which is do everything I can to put on fights, and you told me not to, so I expect to be paid for my part of this contract. Jalen, sometimes you see right through it, and I appreciate that about you. Moving on, we have some very important news that matters. Jalen, maybe the NBA season shifting is just another one of the byproducts that we discussed, that this horrible pandemic has sort of the implications that echo to all aspects of life, like you wearing a do-rag without a haircut. Well, there's another tragedy. There is a surplus of chicken wings in North America. See, there's a yearly cycle when it comes to chicken wing production, chicken wing supply and demand, and they sell a lot during the Super Bowl, and they sell a lot during the month of March when people are at home eating wings and watching college basketball. Obviously, there is no college basketball to watch, so people are not at home eating wings. Now there's a surplus of chicken wing. Chicken wing prices are down across the board. Jalen, this is going to inspire you to make the largest batch of lemon pepper that you've ever made.
Absolutely. And the one thing about this chicken wing epidemic that's taking place is we learn from each other. That's what I learned, love about this show. I learned a lot about your background. You learn a lot about my culture. And we crossbreed and we become a terrific show. One of the things that I paid attention to when this pandemic started to happen is that white folks eat more chicken wings than us.
You think so?
Yeah, I eat more chicken wings
than us. You think
so? You know, we get the label and all of that. But trust me, I went into the supermarket. They was grabbing them like toilet
paper. There's no wings left.
No wings left. I'm like, serious? Like, I thought I was going to be able to stroll right in and get all of the wings that I wanted. And all I realized, all of the white folks ate them all up.
You know why? Because we wake up earlier and get to the store when it opens. That's the difference.
And then y'all got credit cards.
Open noon, we're out there at 7:30, ready for it to open at 8.
Y'all got that curbside stuff where y'all order food online and people bring it to the cars. Yeah. We're not doing that. I need to put my hands on stuff. I need to look at stuff. I need to walk the aisles.
Well, I hope that you're wearing a mask and gloves while you walk the aisles and take care of yourself, Jalen Rose. So we have another piece of information that's very important for you, Jalen. Tua Tagovailoa played football. And two doctors say that he's ready for training camp. Do you want to watch Tua Tagovailoa throw a football, Jalen Rose?
Absolutely.
That's something you're interested in? Do you think that he could be available? Is he going to be available at number 3 overall? Is he going to be wearing the blue and silver of the mighty Detroit Lions? Let's take a look at Tua. Just tell me what you feel when you watch the future franchise quarterback of the Detroit Lions play football.
So here's what I feel. A parade down in Detroit. That's what I feel. Down Grand River in Detroit. That's what this video reminds me of. How that gentleman right there can be our franchise quarterback. And I love Matthew Stafford. He did his bid in Detroit. He put in his work. I need him to groom Tua this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to trade him to the Patriots because they need a quarterback. And then all of a sudden, Tua can now be our quarterback the next 10 or 12 years like Matt Stafford has been the last decade. He deserves the opportunity to win a Super Bowl. So send him to a contender. We deserve to have a franchise quarterback. Only the Lions, Jacoby, could have a franchise quarterback sitting in front of them. And don't get me wrong, I love lockdown corners. Deion Sanders is my favorite player of all time. Don't ever get it twisted. And if we take the Ohio State corner, he's going to be a terrific all-pro player. I know. But he isn't a quarterback.
Mm-mm.
He's not a quarterback. And the Jacksonville Jaguars had an all-pro cornerback. And Jalen, my namesake Ramsey. And you know what they did? They stupidly traded him
to
the Rams. But they didn't have a franchise quarterback. We got a chance to get a franchise quarterback instead of a cornerback. We should do that. I don't understand this thinking. I've watched Eric Hipple, Gary Danielson, Eric Kramer, Dan Orlowski, Rodney Pete, who I both love those last two. An old Dante Culpepper, Scott Mitchell, who we gave a big deal to, the lefty out of Miami. Trust me, the best quarterbacks in the history of our franchise were in the 1950s, Bobby Lane, and right now, Matthew Stafford. And they both went to the same high school. We have a chance to get Tua. I need to be in the room making a decision. Take the franchise quarterback.
Jalen, I don't want you in the room just in case they don't take Tua because you will tear that room up. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You will tear that room up.
Most important position in the game.
I fear for your mental health and the safety of those around you if they do not draft Tua Tagovailoa via a Zoom call or whatever they're going to do. Like, they're going to be on House Party on their phones drafting players in the NFL. They're going to be on House Party. They're going to be on Zoom. Someone's going to forget the password. Someone's connection's going to stop right in the middle of it. It's going to be a mess.
Can I give you
all the people in the front office are old people, so they don't know how to use technology. It's going to be impossible. It's going to be impossible.
I see real quick that's going to happen with the draft.
Go ahead and roast your dog.
And I think it was Laremy Tunsil, who unfortunately, when he got drafted, people were leaking some old footage of him really doing the bong thing.
He was on the mask before Caroni Rome. Before Caroni Rome, Laremy Tunsil already had a mask.
And you know who else was? Future. He had a song called Mask On, Mask Off.
Yep.
He was in front of the curve. But here's what's going to happen. There's going to be an NFL executive or a coach or somebody on their personnel. When you're doing a draft, there are also going to be people trying to hack. There's going to be somebody whose search history gets exposed. Mark my words.
I love it.
Somebody whose search history is going to get exposed. It's going to be like, with the sixth pick in an NFL draft, and then all of a sudden, it's going to be a porn site.
Something. Or it's going to be like, there's definitely going to be like one NFL executive that doesn't know that it's video and audio. He's going to have his shirt off and have like Coors Light in his hand, and he's not going to realize that it's on video too. I can't wait for the technological implications of this. Like, they don't have enough resources to send somebody to everybody's home to make sure that they have the technology in place. This is going to be such a mess. There's going to be people saying that they didn't mean to draft the person that they drafted. You know, the Lions are going to draft
a fantasy draft.
They're going to draft like a third round offensive tackle in number three. Some technological glitch, and Jalen's going to lose his mind.
Right. At number three, the Detroit Lions select Mr. Irrelevant. We're going to be like, really?
This is going to happen. It's going to happen. I can't wait. This draft is going to be so weird, and I'm going to watch every second of it, too. Every single second. So, Jalen, it is now time for Soft Move or Boss Move. Jalen, Tom Brady rarely makes a misstep. You know, like, Tom Brady's got a great public persona. You know, a supermodel wife, he's a dad, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. He wins championships, seems like every season he's in the contention. Well, Tom Brady this time might have made a misstep. He tried to trademark Tampa Bay, Jalen. Tampa Bay and Tampa Brady. Jalen, soft move or boss move, trademarking Tampa Bay.
This is a soft move by my fellow Michigan alum. And here's what this shows. He going to Tampa to make a legacy, clearly to show that he can win the big thing without Belichick, but he definitely about his bread. He definitely about his money. Hey, Tampa, there's 50 million reasons why Tom Brady there. Don't ever get it twisted. Guaranteed. That's why he's there, and you guys got a great receiving core and Godwin and Evans, who I took on my fantasy team each the last, say, handful of years, Mike Evans in particular. I took O.J. Howard last year. Jameis Winston, their head coach, don't throw to the tight end a lot. And so for Tom Brady, who had Gronk and loves to throw between the numbers, watch the numbers for their tight ends to spike, but Tom Brady. That's a soft move, trying to get anything money as it relates to the Buccaneers.
I don't mind, you know, getting a patent on something and trademarking a saying or whatever, but Tampa Bay does not roll off the tongue. Like, I don't want to wear a shirt that says Tampa Bay. Like, it's just a soft move all around. And Brady, you know what? It shows you that he's about his money. You know what this shows me? That he needs, like, a best friend. You know what I mean? Like, he needs someone in his life that's going to tell him, like, yo, that's corny. Tampa Bay is super corny. Like, he's a best friend. Like, just like you need someone in your life to tell you you can't go on this show with a do-rag with gold chains on it.
What about this? And my bat.
And a bat. The judge robe. Maybe that should be me. Maybe this is on me.
Well,
maybe
I love
this is on my fault.
Color. And then from the Chappelle show, I'm inspired.
Well, there is some actual football news that's outside of Tom Brady trying to get some corny trademark, and that is Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks, great receiver, always seems to get traded by his team. Now he is on the Texans. He's been traded by the Saints, the Patriots, and the Rams. Jalen, why is Brandon Cooks, who is pretty productive everywhere he goes, always on the trading block?
Bill O'Brien is digging a hole deeper. And not that Brandon Cooks hasn't been a productive football player, in particular in New England when he first got to the Rams. And also Kenny Stills can blow the top off of a defense. But both of those guys have something in common, Jacoby. They don't play 16 games. Both of those guys stay injured. And so you lose Hopkins, and I've heard a lot of people assess what they felt about him. Let me just tell you what Jalen feels about DeAndre Hopkins. He's one of the best 12 football players in the NFL, one of the best 11 football players in the NFL. On one side, if you were going to line up a receiver, it would be Julio Jones. On the other side, it will be Hopkins. Those are your all pros, those 11 guys. And for you to trade him when you have a guy like Deshaun Watson as your quarterback, a star, and they had some of the best chemistry all time between quarterback and receiver, there's no getting past this. And if I'm Deshaun, of course, I'm going to show up and do my job when this ends. But Bill O'Brien should be on the hot seat for sure.
Oh, Bill O'Brien is already on the hot seat. And one thing about the DeAndre Hopkins trade is I understand sometimes you have to trade a player. If they're unhappy, if you feel like ultimately their presence in the locker room is going to be detrimental to the team, and you feel like you just have to move that player, even though they're very valuable, even though they're great at their job and they're very productive, it's just not a fit, this team and this player. I understand that. But you could have got back so much more for DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not mad that you traded him. I understand sometimes you have to do that. I'm just mad at the deal that you got back for one of, as you say, the two or three best receivers in the league. I do not think that Bill O'Brien will be coaching this team for this entire season.
Shout out to Michael Thomas, who deserved to be in that conversation as well.
Good point, good point. Well, Jalen, gentlemen, by the name of Urban Magic Johnson. Are you familiar with Mr. Magic Johnson?
My childhood idol, and shout out to Tyreek Hill. No doubt about it.
Magic had this to say about LeBron talking about the games without the fans. Here's what Magic had to say. He said the following.
LeBron is right. I mean, it's hard to play without fans. I mean, but I think that once you have one game without fans, say the NBA comes back without fans, once you play one game, you adjust to not having fans there. Mm. But I think that also, too, we've all played our whole life on the playgrounds and pickup games without fans being there. So basketball players will know how to adjust, trust me. And I think also, too, those guys want to see who's the world champion.
What do you think about his thoughts on NBA players easily adjusting to a game without fans?
The Hall of Fame mogul. And here's something I want to bring people behind the curtain on, in particular in the NBA and the NFL. Without fans, remember I told you this, David Jacoby. Remember,
you stole it from me, Mr. Rose. You stole it from me. You stole this one from me. So don't try to say, remember I told you.
You don't even know what I'm going to say.
I know exactly what you're going to say. I know exactly what you're going to say.
I said it for you.
Because I first brought up the games without fans. You're going to hear on the microphones, on the hoops, that you're going to pick up all the trash talk from the players, all the yelling from the coaches, all the sneaker squeaking. And it's actually going to be like a more immersive experience. You're actually going to be closer to the game when you watch a broadcast without fans. That is what I said, and you stole it, and it's yours.
You take your victory lap another time. That is not what I was going to say.
No, you're changing it now. You're definitely going to say
what I was going to say is the game is going to be more physical than ever.
Mm.
In the NBA and NFL, because of what you just said, because we can now hear. Remember, NBA players are famous for talking to each other and doing this, right? How many times have you seen this?
All the time.
They're talking to one another. When that is happening, that's because they don't want you to read their lips, clearly. And it's because they're saying something that they don't want repeated or read. Now, without the fans and cameras everywhere, the game is going to be dramatically different. especially in the NBA and the NFL. The games are going to be more physical. They're going to be more tense because the trash that you talk to me, it's one thing for me and everybody else on the floor to hear it. It's another thing for the whole world to hear it. Yep. And that's what's going to happen. And so now guys going across the middle in the NFL and a D-back puts a lick on a tight end or a linebacker sacks the quarterback, you're going to now hear that. And it's going to make it personal. And the game won't be as buddy-buddy. This is something that I'm going to like.
I'm going to like it too. Because another thing is I want to hear the coaches yelling. You know, the coaches yell the entire time, but we just can't hear it. Like, you'll hear Phil Jackson's whistle every once in a while. But outside of that, you don't really hear coaches calling plays or getting on players. You're going to hear all that. You don't hear defensively players getting on each other. You know, you'll be able to understand sort of the dynamics of a team, the leadership qualities of different players. I think this is oddly going to bring us closer to NBA basketball than further from NBA basketball. Obviously, the fan experience won't be the same. If you've ever been to a live NBA game, there's something irreplaceable about that experience. But the majority of the people are not in the arena. The majority of the people are like you and I at home with an adult beverage in their hand watching some NBA basketball. And that, I think, might translate into a better experience. I want the NBA to come back as soon as possible. I don't know. Wait, do I have to come up with a test? Do I have to come up with a vaccine? We got to mix some Robitussin with some ginger ale. Mix some Robitussin with some ginger ale. Put some cayenne pepper in there.
Got this.
I'm going to start.
Apple cider ginger.
Lemon. Little Verner's. Little Robitussin. Little vitamin C, some emergency powder in there. I'm gonna come up with a ginger. You know what? There's a hospital like three blocks from here. I'm gonna make a concoction and say, "Here you go, guys. You're welcome very much. I just solved the coronavirus." All right, moving on, Jalen. Big shout to our friends and colleagues Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. They have a show called All the Smoke, distributed by Showtime. Chloe, I'm doing a show right now. Do you mind coming back later? Thank you very much. That is my 4-year-old.
Hi, Chloe.
And on All the Smoke, they had a guest by the name of J.R. Ryder. We all know J.R. Ryder. And
J.R. Ryder said, I'm a straight rider.
J.R. Ryder said that when he joined the Lakers, you forget that he was on the Lakers there at the end during the Kobe and Shaq era. He said, well, he might have been kidding, might have been telling the truth, might have been sort of exaggerating, but he said that Shaquille O'Neal offered him $10,000 to fight Kobe Bryant. General, do you believe this story?
I do believe this story, and Shaq has acknowledged that he was really immature and jealous of Penny, as well as Kobe. And even though he's an all-time great player, that level of sensitivity, I believe, cost him all-time level greatness in being a part of a conversation that he deserves, because had he handled those relationships different, I believe he was on a trek to win as many championships as Michael Jordan. For J.R. Ryder, I've told you this multiple times. Ask anybody from Detroit, Atlanta, and the Bay Area. People that live there, represent there, those are our cousins. And J.R. Ryder falls into that category. We used to break bread while we was in the league. I remember he went through his legs in a dunk contest, the Bay Area funk. And he's always kept it 100. And that year that he played with the Lakers, he also got caught up with multiple burnout cell phones. And I can't front. I was trying to get one of those phones. And when I saw that story, I was like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have these burnout phones. For those that don't know, a burnout phone means you basically pay $200 for it. You use it for up to 30 days. The number and the phone just happens to go away until it's get reset. So shout to my dog, J.R. Ryder.
Big shout to J.R. Ryder. Jalen, we are all in our homes just watching TV and Tiger King over and over again, and we will soon have The Last Dance upon us. It debuts on April 19th. So every day we will have Jalen Jacoby's The Last Dance countdown. Jalen, we only have so much time left in the show, and I know you can talk about this for hours and hours, but briefly, today I would like you to reflect on the Bulls defense as a team, and specifically Michael Jeffrey Jordan's defense, something that is overlooked in his legacy. He has many Defensive Player of the Year awards.
So this is crazy because I believe the Jordan Bulls team that you guys are going to see on April 19th, that second three-peat, that squad is the best defensive team of all time. Of all time. They embody positionless basketball. They were one of the first teams that downplayed the role of a center if he couldn't score and get buckets. Yeah, they had Will Perdue and Bill Cartwright, and those guys played quality minutes, Stacey King. But they weren't featured. They were only out there if the other team had another big that was going to score the ball. Patrick Ewing, David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaquille O'Neal. And so other than that, they would take that center out of the game and he wouldn't finish. And so they embodied having multiple people up front that could switch everything. Just think about this.
That's a good point, Jalen. People don't really point this out about that particular team, but they were sort of a modern basketball team defensively.
No question about it. You have Scottie Pippen, all defensive player, multiple years, a top 50 player of all time. Dennis Rodman, defensive player of the year multiple times, one of the greatest players of all time. And, you know, the possession isn't over unless you get a turnover steal or clear the backboard. And Dennis Rodman will clear that backboard as well. When you got those guys up front and you got Michael Jordan, you just talked about his accolades. We know his greatness. And somebody that gets slept on by history, Ron Harper. Ron Harper was 6'6". And before he got hurt, he was on a trek like a lot of players to be the next MJ for those that didn't get a chance to see him play in Cleveland before he hurt his injury, before he hurt his knee. So now you have those dudes that just switch everything. And it was crazy. Scottie Pippen could guard multiple positions. MJ guard multiple positions. Rodman, like you see with Draymond Green today, could guard a five. And then you throw the waiter, Tony Kukoc, out there with them, who was 6'10", and you hear his nickname, could shoot the three, was multi-versatile. Like, that's the best five that will ever take the floor in the history of the NBA. The best five.
Well, we could argue about that for hours, but our time here is up. We'll be back on Monday. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.
Everyone stay safe. Stay inside. Wear your mask. Wear your gloves. And make sure that you subscribe to the Jalen and Jacoby podcast and follow the Jalen Jacoby accounts on Twitter and on Instagram. We will see you right here on Monday.